Alrighty, 2:30. So we're starting the exercises, and just to repeat what I said before, the idea is that you borrow from anywhere you want, but Christian's slides and code would be an obvious place to start, to implement in your already existing programs and algorithms a hyperparameter optimization. And so I think it's not a bad idea to say, instead of taking the latest and greatest version, let me just try to take the first version where I don't set any hyperparameters, but just let the algorithm run. And then after that, see, well, then you measure what's the performance now, and then you try again and optimize with the hyperparameter optimizations. And so there's an initial number and there's a final number in performance. And when you succeed in just getting two different numbers, hopefully the hyperparameter one being the better one, then I'd love you to just post them in the chat. It doesn't matter what the problem is or what you're aiming at and so on, but simply to see that you improve, hopefully, and also by how much. And typically here, I would say that if the initial parameters are not completely terrible, then of course that should get most of it. But improvements of 20% are not uncommon. So yeah, that's the exercise. And we'll of course have the chat open, and you're welcome to just speak up because there's no lecture now. Yeah, that's the plan. Any questions now? All righty. Well, we're simply go. And I can mention that meanwhile, I'll try my best to run through all the code that you and the problem of Monday and see if I can post example code from various persons. Before I do so, I test it and comment on it. So so that's the aim. All right. Simply to break the silence and also just give you a little more insight in Christian's talk, he talked about the learning rate. And generally, this is what you do. This is the rate at which you take a step in the large parameter space when you're trying to optimize. Not hyperparameter optimize, but just optimize. But the size of that step is a hyperparameter. And if you make it too big, then you might just jump around and pass the minima. Whereas if you make it too small, it simply becomes too time consuming to jump around. You only slowly approach a minimum, and you have a hard time finding out if it's a local minimum or not, because you never get the chance to jump a little bit. For that reason, there are algorithms, and this is mostly suited for neural networks, in which you choose to have a learning rate that changes throughout the training. So you might start with a large learning rate. And this also refers to what Christian said as there's exploration and exploitation. So first you want to explore. You don't know anything about this problem or what parameters are good. So you jump around, and then slowly you make the learning rate smaller and smaller. And then you end up in some perhaps global, but perhaps also local minimum. At least you explore that minimum to find out how deep is it, where what is good around here. And then you might change to a large learning rate again, jumping around again. And then you decrease it to explore wherever you ended up again. You might end up in the same minimum. You might end up somewhere else. And then you do that for a few times. And in the end, it can't find a better minimum. And there you are. Or maybe the first one was the best and it, you will have to return to that one. But typically, this helps the learning for a while when you run over many epochs. Yep, that was just the input. I just got another, I wouldn't say request, but people writing to me that they were a group now and had found a project, a final project. And in this respect, I don't want to stress anybody, but it's not a bad thing to think about now just because it takes a little while. And I've seen people on all sorts of media write, you know, who wants to be in a group with and do what. And don't hold back in writing me. Also, if you're just two persons who are looking for two others or something of the likes, or if you say, well, we would like to work on this project, let's see who else wants to work on it. Well, sometimes next week I'll start probing more thoroughly, if you can call it that. So don't hesitate in chatting with each other now or during the remainder of the week and see what you want to try out your skills on.
Troels, question for the exercise.
Yes.
Just want to understand correctly. So when we have implemented, like when we have made sure that we can get a different and ways of hyper of parameter optimization and to work in our own code with our own data sets, then what is the next step? Is it just to try to give it more values or what?
Well, yes and no. To some extent, you're done. I would say overall, it's good to try the grid search and see that it's painful and long and that you can't test very many values, and then try the random afterwards, and then, of course, what Christian presented. But once you've done that and feel that you've drawn your conclusions and that you can apply it, by all means, you're done. And then, actually, here comes a, what should I then do? You can just call it a day, and that's fair enough. But I urge everyone to read the small project webpage and actually perhaps start transferring all your skills to apply it to that data set. Right? That's where you can try it out and get, you know, test if it's the same experience you get there. And whatever the result, it will serve you well in submitting a final project, a small project. Yeah, does that make sense, Simon?
Yes, it does. I don't remember, the small project, is that an individual or group?
It's an individual project in the sense that everyone will have to hand in their own result from their own algorithm. And no, you should not have the same result as anybody else, right? However, it's perfectly fine to discuss the problem with others and gain experience from that and say, I can't get this hyperparameter optimization to work. You know, why is it doing that? That's perfectly fine. It's not like an exam, you could say, where, you know, tight shutters and no correspondence. You're welcome to discuss it, but you should, with your own ability and your own code, attack the problem and make your own solutions that you send in individually. Yeah?
Yes, thank you.
And I can see Carl just sent the sub page. So, yeah. And I'll go back to answering.
I hate trolls.
Yes.
I was just wondering, since you told us to start on the small project, could you explain a little more in detail? I know you're probably going to do it formally on Monday, but just like, what's the purpose? Is it to like explore methods or get the best performance or like
what? Well, let me go to the page and go to the very bottom and say it's to make sure that you explore as much as you can and to make sure that everyone has a running algorithm or several that they sort of feel, okay, I can get results on data. So that's it. Are you asking to the specific scoring point giving of the small project? That was a yes over there. Okay. Yeah, I'll go more into detail with that. But for now, you can just start having algorithms running, solving the small project problems. That will always come in handy. Well, I'll define further.
And tools.
Yes, Sophos.
In general, when you get like a prediction that's, so when you're doing classification, you usually get a prediction between 1 and 0 for how sure it is, right? So you maybe get 0.95 or something. What's the best way of putting that into a box? So it's either 0 or 1, because I assume you want to do that, right?
Nope. In fact,
you don't.
Some people do that, but actually we want to make a scoring which allows both, but we actually prefer the continuous.
Okay,
and
cool.
I think, and that's from the point of view that I think the continuous is really what tells you the most, right? Yeah, let's say that you cut at 0.5, which would be the natural first order, you know, place to do so. Well, if you have a score of 0.55 or 0.99, I think there's a difference, but you can't see that difference if you just convert it into zeros and ones. So I'd rather prefer that you don't.
Okay.
Yep.
That was it. Thank you.
Hi, Sofus, Haira, and everybody else. Since you're discussing the cross entropy, I thought, well, maybe it's worthwhile to pick up the formula again and sort of reconsider it. So here on the shared screen is the log loss function. And the y's are the truth, so that's 0 or 1, belonging to one class or the other, while the y hat is your estimate, and hence it is this value which is the continuous between 0 and 1 variable. And so it works by, if you have to guess 0, then this will be 0, so only this term counts. And then if you get close to 0 with this, well, then you have log 1 minus close to 0, well, that's close to 1, which means the log term becomes close to 0, and you add very little to the log loss function, as you should. Now, Sofus, you were asking, I have to get back to the chat there, to what extent it makes a difference between a 0.4 and a 0.7 here. And well, if this is 0, so only this term count, no, let's say that yn is 1, so only the first term counts, then here, if you get 0.4 or 0.7, well, that's not exactly close to 1, but 0.7 is better, well, then that amounts to the amount of penalty, the score, the loss you add to the loss function. So, well, that's how to interpret it. Is that what you were looking for? And I see Haida is referring to the ML cheat sheet from Read the Docs. Read the Docs is in general a great place. So if you were to guess, if yn was 1 and you guess 0.000001, well, then the log of that is suddenly 10 to the minus 6, if it's log 10. And so you add that to your loss function. So that's expensive to put a certainty on an incorrect guess. Any comments on that, or was that what you were looking for, Sofus? And if Sofus was more asking what the score means, well, then there isn't that much physics behind it, you could say. If there's anything, then there's probability theory where you're putting, yeah, well, that's perhaps a general discussion also to have here at the end. Some people interpret, and it's not entirely wrong, that when you give a score of 0.4, it means that you're 40% convinced that yn is 1. And so 0.7 would mean 70%, and 0.999 means you're pretty confident it's that. Well, probability in general have to fulfill quite a few things before they can be considered probabilities. And so, for example, if you took out all the scores at just around, say, 0.8, then if you looked at those scores and asked which fraction of those are actually ones, well, that should be 80% of them. And if you get 82 for that, well, then it's at best a biased probability. So in that sense, it's sometimes hard to call it probability, but it's alluring to call it probability. So, but I think that's the closest I can give you to an interpretation of what is that score. And why do you then take the log of it? Well, that has to do with information theory. But it turns out the log is a good thing to take of probabilities. And that relates it to likelihood. Was that a more intuition answer? Or does anybody have comments? sure it might be the best of intuition. It takes a while to get intuition about machine learning, I would say. I can round off this session by saying that I ran my first machine learning algorithm in 2001, and I still don't feel very convinced that I'm regularly cheated on what I thought would be the outcome, and then it turns out to be something else. So don't worry if you feel the same thing from time to time. And on that happy note, I think we'll end here. Any final words? Otherwise, I'll call it today. No? Well, then, thanks for now. Enjoy. Make groups for the final project. Take a look at the small project. And then I'll see you Monday, 1:15 in the afternoon. Meanwhile, take care.